justice for all. May we have roll call, please?
Hello, Inez. Would you take roll call, please?
Yes, I was trying to unmute myself. Yes, roll call. Chair Hartwig?
Present.
Vice Chair Griffith? Okay, excuse for now. Commissioner Castillo? Excuse for now. I understand he has requested to be excused. Commissioner Wright? I understand she's calling in. Commissioner Griffith, I recognize you. I see you. Thank you.
Commissioner Wright is on the call. I need to move her from, she's present. She's on the attendees list.
Okay. Commissioner Montgomery? Commissioner Montgomery?
Is she still muted?
Yeah.
The commissioner is present, Inez. She's probably muted.
Thank you. Commissioner Jung Lee?
Present.
Okay. Thank you. So we have everyone now, Griffith, except for Castillo, I believe. And we'll leave her as excused. All right.
Okay, just confirming with the roll call, do we have a quorum?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay, moving forward then. Do we have a motion to approve last meeting's minutes, please?
So moved. This is Commissioner Griffith.
Moved.
Second from Commissioner Lee.
All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Carries forward. Okay. Old or unfinished business, we have none. Modifications to the agenda. I have
none. There are
no
modifications to the agenda. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, very good. Now we are moving on to new business, item A.
Commissioners, item A is a resolution authorizing the Executive Director to execute a data sharing memorandum of understanding with the Runstead Department of Real Estate at the University of Washington and participate in a research project called Unit Maintenance Costs, Magnitude and Variations. This study and our partnership in it is a blind study. And it would allow the Housing Authority to provide data at the aggregate level as well as cumulative level on costs of maintenance as well as trends and trajectories of work orders. Here to provide further information on this very exciting partnership and an opportunity to understand the cost of affordable housing or perhaps even the cost of not providing affordable housing is our Director of Policy Implementation and Compliance, Dominica Henderson. Ms. Henderson?
Good evening, everyone. I hope you can hear me okay.
We can, Dominica. Thank you.
Great, I just wanted to make sure that there was no feedback. My name is Dominica Henderson, and I will describe some background about this exciting partnership that we hope to undertake with the University of Washington. In 2018, the Oakland Housing Authority began taking several steps to increase its participation in research studies and evaluations, which is in line with the mission of the Moving to Work demonstration to serve as a housing policy lab from which housing authorities or HUD or Congress even and others nationwide can learn new innovative housing insights to expand the provision of affordable housing. Since then, staff with the board's approval has forged a number of research partnerships that will help identify areas for improvement, that will identify industry best practices as well as lessons learned that we can share with our peers. The item before you tonight furthers our research goals by partnering through a data sharing agreement with a premier research institution in the University of Washington to develop recommendations for the improved delivery of affordable housing to as many Americans as possible. This research project was designed to answer two primary research questions. And as partner in this research project, the Oakland Housing Authority will provide certain data that's captured in our business system to the university researchers, Drs. Akolin and Dr. Walter, and in order to perform this study and make any policy recommendations they might make. The first research question asks two things. Are there substantial variations in operating different property types? And if so, what are the factors like building type or construction period or unit size associated with the differences in operating those types of properties? The first question also asks whether household characteristics such as household composition, age, or maybe even income may contribute to the differences in the costs as well. Answering this question requires OHA to provide information about work orders, such as labor and material costs, information about building types, including the age and unit types in the building, as well as anonymized household characteristics, such as household composition, program type, etc. The second research question examines whether longer tenancy periods result in lower maintenance costs than shorter tenancy periods. And answering this question requires access to the same type of maintenance work order, building, as well as household data points. The team of researchers is very experienced with working with housing authorities. One of the researchers actually worked at a housing authority, and they're very experienced with working with HUD data and within the confines of privacy requirements from HUD. One of the lead researchers just published a report entitled Constraints and Opportunity for Innovations in the Moving to Work Demonstration. And also, as part of this study, both the Seattle Housing Authority and the San Antonio Housing Authority are also participants. Staff recommends approval of this item.
Thank you, Domenica. And I think, commissioners, I would add that one of the things that makes this exciting is it continues our efforts to keep the Housing Authority at the forefront of being a housing lab and looking at all aspects of what it means to not just manage and maintain affordable housing, but to perhaps do lessons learned that help us as we try to rehab older buildings that we may purchase and or develop a property in the future. Just the questions about maintenance. We've heard anecdotally many, many times that affordable housing is arguably more expensive to maintain. Well, this study will get us to, is that true? And if so, why? And if there is a yes, how do we mitigate that to make it more effective and efficient to produce and maintain affordable housing for the needs of our city and our nation. And with that, Chair, that concludes our staff report.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions? Okay, if there are no questions, do we have a motion?
This is Commissioner Lee. I move approval of the resolution authorizing the executive director to execute an MOU with Rumsfeld Department of Real Estate.
Second by Commissioner Wright.
Excellent. All those in favor, aye?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, it carries on. So now we are moving to item B.
Thank you, Chair. Commissioners, item B is ratifying the purchase of commercial automobility liability insurance from the HAI Group, known as the Housing Authority Insurance Group, underwritten by Travelers Insurance, and the payment of the annual premium in the amount of $335,225. This is a routine item that you approve for us each year. Typically, it would be in consent. This year, the item was brought to the board after the payment with the staffing levels. It was paid for, but not brought to the board. So we're bringing it to you retroactively, as I committed during the earlier stages of COVID, that if I made, as executive director, a payment or a purchase over the amounts of my authorized amount, we would make it transparent. In this case, it's for automobile insurance. Our staff report provides the procurement process that we went through and notes that the selected carrier has been with us in protecting us for quite a few years. And one of the things that AGI Group brings to the table is making sure that the fleet is well covered, including our older vehicles, our electric vehicles, street vehicles, and on the rare occasions that we have to lease vehicles for special events and or staff and commissioner travel, this coverage covers those vehicles also. So again, this is a ratification of a payment already made, and that concludes my staff report.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Do we have a motion?
I am happy to move the item. It's Commissioner Griffith.
And do we have a second?
Second by Commissioner Wright.
Okay, thank you. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, it carries. So
thank
now
you,
we are on to item C.
Thank you, Chair. Item C is authorizing the executive director to execute a contract with Helen Dunlap Consulting for real estate development consulting services, including the development of a five-year strategic plan for real estate development. This item brings to the Housing Authority the stellar expertise of Ms. Dunlap and her team, who have been working in the affordable housing development field for over 30 years. Ms. Dunlap has done work with one of our nonprofit affiliates, Oakland Housing Initiatives, and will continue that work to work with our Board of Commissioners as well as our staff on a very detailed process for helping us to achieve one of the strategic goals approved by the board, and that's development of the five-year plan. To provide input to the staff report, we have the acting Senior Director of Real Estate Development, Bridget Gawka. Ms. Gawka?
Good evening, Commissioners. This is Bridget Gawka. So this contract is to bring on a team to help us develop a five-year strategic plan for real estate development. The authority put a request for quotes with a high level of minimum qualifications, and we received four proposals. The proposal submitted by Helen Dunlap Consulting had the lowest hourly rates and met all of the minimum qualifications. The contract will provide us with an assessment and then a strategic framework for a five-year strategic plan. And then in addition, it includes funding to elicit support in certain items that might need a little bit more work than the strategic plan to implement. And so I recommend approval of this $200,000 contract.
Okay, thank you.
That concludes our staff report. Yeah. Are there any questions for us?
I do have one question. This is Janie. It's not really a question. Usually our protocol, and thank you, Chair, I forgot to ask for your permission to ask a question. I was, thank you. Usually in the subject line of all of our memos, we actually put in how much the contract is, like the last paragraph here identifies how much it is. It's a little thing, but I love consistency. Is it possible to redo the subject that it includes the amount that we are authorizing for this item?
Yes, Commissioner, we can absolutely change the subject for this memo to reflect that this is a contract up to the amount of $200,000. Thank you for pointing out that enhancement.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
This is Commissioner Lee. I have a question for Bridget. Will Helen Dunlap and her staff have opportunity to interview or meet with the commission and related committees for ideas, thoughts, etc.?
Yes. Yes, that is part of the assessment phase of the plan and the contract.
Great, thank you.
And actually, Commissioner, it'll go a little bit beyond that. I know that Ms. Dunlap is on the call, but I'm not sure she's been given speaker rights. What I would say is that she laid out in her proposal a very intricate path that includes interviews with a variety of stakeholders, including our Board of Commissioners, current partnerships to get a understanding of what's worked well, what have been any areas for opportunity of improvement for the Housing Authority, as well as diving deep into kind of state-of-the-art development methods that are taking place right now as the United States reacts in response to the fact that project-based vouchers are precious, homelessness has increased, and funding is limited. And so they're actually going to do, over the course of the initial first 6 months, a lot of data mining that includes, again, not just commissioners and staff, but other stakeholders who have been important to the Housing Authority's achievement and development to date. So it's actually going to be very exciting. And what we can have happen is have Ms. Dunlap come back and give perhaps just a little bit of update, or perhaps the development committee members can do that with one or two visuals that allow us to see just how in depth this particular project is going to be. It's actually quite exciting, and we hope to have some real good milestones achieved, as I said, in the first 6 months.
That sounds like a great plan. Thanks for the details, Director.
Absolutely.
Do we have a motion?
To the chair, I'll move the motion. This is Janie Castillo.
Okay, Commissioner Castillo, thank you. And also thank you for your fiduciary oversight here. Do we have a second?
Commissioner Griffith, I'll second this.
All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any
aye.
Opposed? Any opposed?
Aye.
Any abstentions? Thank you, carries. And so now we are on to item D.
Thank you, Chair. Item D is an informational item. It's actually just a brief staff update on Project Home Key. I'm going to ask our Senior Director of Development, Bridget, to just give a very high level version of how we initially looked at what was a notice of funding opportunity issued by the state of California for entities to propose to acquire, rehab, and utilize multifamily style, hotel style buildings for answering the current crisis of homelessness. It was a very aggressive timeline with this NOFA, and in fact, I forwarded a news report that just shared that the 29 applications exceeded in the ask the amount of funding issued by the state of California by almost threefold. So the crisis is real, the need is real, and the Housing Authority team members did due diligence to determine if this was a viable NOFA that we could take advantage of. And to just give us a high level version of where we are today, I'm going to ask Bridget to just give us a short staff briefing. Bridget?
Yes, hello. This is Bridget Galka again. So the Office of Real Estate Development responded to the Project Home Key NOFA. We reached out to our broker community and asked if there were any properties that would be suitable for the NOFA, and we were unsuccessful at finding any hotels or hostels or commercial buildings that were vacant and that could be made into permanent or even interim housing. And so what we started to look for were vacant units that OHA or OHA affiliates controlled. And what we found were 23 units in the OPI inventory that were offline as a result of fire damage. And so we reached out to the Alameda County Health and Human Services and Homeless Departments to see if they could access our units as part of their home key application for homeless families. They were very interested in working with the Housing Authority on permanent supportive housing and accessing our units, but they had a very large home key application that they were putting together, and they did not feel like the authority's offerings would make a good home key application. So thank you, Bridget.
So I'm gonna jump in for a second. And so the discussion Bridget's talking about, we're actually still in discussions with the county for variation of this project. So could you just kind of do high level, Bridget, on just kind of what we're looking at and where the discussions are going, because there's discussions, so there's not a lot to report.
Right, so we're talking to Alameda County about permanent supportive housing, partnering with the county to provide services over the long term, and the Housing Authority providing some kind of units for families that are in the Alameda County Coordinate Care System.
And so this program would somewhat mirror a combination of achievements we've made to date. If you look at our partnership with the Alameda County Sheriff's Office, with the PACT program, as well as our partnership with the city, with the sponsor-based housing program. So we're looking at lessons learned and achievements we've made to see if there's a space where we could be part of the solution, even though the actual NOFA at this point in time was not one where there was a perfect match between the Housing Authority and a piece of property that we could be able to take advantage of. And so I wanted to make sure that this has been a lot of excitement in California, and I know we're all very much up to date on the news. So I wanted Bridget to be able to share what she and Dominica Henderson and Michelle Hassan and Andres Manmikas are working together to try to see if there's an innovative way for us to do a pilot program that serves the need for families, utilizing a resource that we currently have control over, and those are units in the affiliate portfolio, and yet not necessarily doing it the traditional way that the NOFA intended. Bridget, I don't know, would you add anything to that, or is that good for now? And if we're able to progress forward, this would be an item that potentially would come forward in the September meeting with more information and perhaps an action item for the board. Bridget, did we miss anything together, you and I, on that?
No, thank you.
Great. So again, Chair, this is an informational item. Are there any questions from the commissioners that we might be able to answer today, or any thoughts?
Okay, if we have Greg Hardwick here again, if we have no further questions, we are moving then to item E, the consent agenda.
Thank you, sir. And the consent agenda just includes one item. It is, again, an annual item. It's consideration of a resolution authorizing the executive director to continue the authority's participation in the Employment Risk Management Agency insurance pool and to issue payment of the annual premium invoice. Again, this is a routine action item done annually to make sure that we're protected, and have support services for our employment activities and supporting our staff.
If we have no questions, do we have a motion?
This is Commissioner Lee. I move the consent agenda.
Second by Commissioner Wright.
All those in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Aye. Any abstentions? Okay. Item carries. So now we're moving to written communications.
Thank you, commissioners, very much. Included in your report is our monthly report on activities. You again will see some changes and updates in the work that we've been doing to work with our residents during this time. We're very consistently adjusting to providing services in a virtual world, and that has resulted in us having five Winning Wednesdays hiring events. And there wasn't the participation, I wanted to highlight this one, that we had hoped for, but we think there are several variations. A, just the universe of available employment opportunities, given that we're still under a social distance ordinance, that folks in the community were recently received a stimulus checks and unemployment benefits that perhaps took off some of the urgency for employment activities. And then lastly, there still is very much a concern within the community, as we all know, of what it means to be in contact with another person, and does that put health at risk. But the SCP's team, along with our asset management team and property operations team, and in fact, these housing teams and police officers, continue to do everything we can do to serve the needs of our clients. We also have reports on the same from asset management, as well as updates on our development projects. And so that is the written report. Are there any questions regarding the written report insert for myself or one of our leadership team members?
To the chair, this is Janie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's so difficult to pick out one thing when there's so much good news happening in our organization. But I do want to give a really great shout out to our family self-sufficiency program, who has graduated two folks. Claudia Campbell with a check of $13,155, and Lagina Albert, who walked away with $14,413. I know this is great because I only got nine, so I'm really excited about that. And then we have a new homeowner, which in this climate with COVID and fires, and I mean, it's crazy to be able to walk through an entire process to purchase a house. And I'm just so grateful for this program and all the good that it has done over the years. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Commissioner. I'm sorry, Commissioner Lee, did I hear you?
Yes. Yes, I do want to compliment staff on increasing amount of detail that you are providing to us. And obviously, there's a great deal of work that's happened. I would echo Commissioner Castillo that it is amazing that we have still people who are able to purchase homes in this climate. I have a couple of questions, one around home ownership. Given that the rates are really low right now, does staff reach out to previous home buyers or current to let them know about the possibility of refinancing and perhaps running the numbers to compare the costs and the impacts over time? So that's one question, and I have a couple more.
Okay, that's a great question. We have acting in the role of Director for Family Community Partnerships, Nicole Thompson. Ms. Thompson, are you able to have a mic? Are you? Uh, Okay, I'm not sure that her mic was connected for her this evening, commissioners. I apologize. We did take that question down. What are the, oh, Nicole, is that you? I thought I heard her voice. Commissioner, if you ask me the other two questions, I can make sure that we'll report back out on those at the next commission meeting. What were the other ones?
I see that we have graduated more people from Rising Sun Center for Opportunity. And I also read that some people are waiting because they have to join the union. I understand that Housing Authority is helping with union dues initially, but are there other requirements that are preventing people from joining the union at the beginning?
Hello, can you hear
Especially
me?
The laborers union or the carpenters union?
I do hear you, Ms. Thompson. Hello there.
Hi, this is Nicole Thompson, Acting Director for Family and Community Partnerships. For the Rising Sun graduates, the participants haven't selected a union to apply to. And we do provide assistance with union dues to get them affiliated.
Okay. Are there other requirements that are preventing them from joining?
No, they just have to select their union they want to be into.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Nicole?
Yes.
This is Andres. Nicole, did you hear the question about the homeownership, you know, and reaching out for the, you know, lower interest rates?
Yes. And so Tara works with the current homeowners to inform them of the different interest rates. And I believe there is two people in the process of refinancing to get a lower interest rate.
Okay, great. Wonderful. And then the last question, given that the computer centers are closed, I know that you are helping children get laptops so that they can continue classes online, but is there any opportunity or initiative for adults?
Right now we're working with T-Mobile and we are giving out laptops to our families who are seeking support with computers. Currently we issued 20 tablets that have internet access already.
Okay, great.
Since the start of the pandemic.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for your answers.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Nicole. Are there any other questions for the leadership team on the written staff report? Great. Well, then I will go to the remaining of the executive director comments and written comments. In your written comments, you have several letters. We've been hard at work on advocacy. I want to thank the commissioners and leadership staff and other members of our OHA staff who have taken advantage of the August month of advocacy through NARO. And we hope to reach nationally 8,000 letters. Each week was a letter of a different type. I know a couple of commissioners have reached out to let me know that you participated in week 2 and 3. The four subjects are a continued funding of COVID protections, continued funding for not just the development of additional housing, but also fully funding the Section 8 program, raising the importance of its need right now. And then this week, the focus is on assuring funding and access for all persons to just what we've been talking about, supportive services, so that families taking advantage of the Section 8 and public housing program can also take advantage of community-based opportunities for workforce development, education for adults and children, as well as making sure our most vulnerable population, our seniors and those with special needs, get those types of services that improve their quality of life. Also included in your packet are two letters, one from CLAPHA, the Council of Large Public Housing Agencies, as well as the Housing Development Law Institute, focusing on the draconian ending of the Affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing Act that was passed outside of procedural process by the current administration. So basically they just decided they wanted to rescind something and they did. It didn't go out for comment. It didn't get input. They just made the change and it goes into effect next month. Arguably, it doesn't have impact on housing authorities because of the due diligence we do in our own policy, just as an policies as an industry to affirmatively further fair housing. But it could, down the road, have an impact on where development of affordable housing is placed and could absolutely take us backwards. So as you can see from the attached letters, it's an item that all of our industry groups have felt important enough to repeatedly make sure that the current administration and hopefully the new administration will understand the need to pay special attention to that. Before I turn it over to Dominica, I just want to point out, in addition to what Nicole talked about in terms of Chromebooks, I want to give a shout out to the fact that the Family Community Partnership, and with strong leadership from our police department, took advantage of several Fridays off and weekends to distribute laptops and Chromebooks to every child who is enrolled in school, and a parent was able to come forth and request it for each of the children doing distance learning. We've got some great photographs of the way that this was handed out. And in several cases, families were able to share other things going on in their lives, and additional services were afforded to them. And then lastly, just want to talk about the fact that we as an agency of 370 strong employees have been doing everything we can to be nimble at this time to provide quality services, but we've been impacted. And so when you are at some of our affiliate properties under OPI, you will find the staff in cooperation with a couple of vendors that I brought on board as emergency purchases, fighting the battle that all of us in Oakland are fighting of illegal dumping and a high preponderance of trash and garbage at the sites. And so we've been remodeling some of our waste collection, our recycling, as well as how we manage the properties. And we continue to be nimble in order to keep our communities clean for the mothers, the fathers, the grandparents, and the babies who are now spending their whole days sheltering in place and distance learning at our property. So I wanted to lift that up and lift the staff team up. It's hard work. We've battled staff reoccurring with illnesses, being out for family care, and just despite all of that, keeping our heads up, and trying to move forward and provide services to our residents and services to one another as a staff team. And so I wanted to publicly say my thanks to each of the 370 members of the Oakland Housing Authority, but also to acknowledge we've got a lot of hard work ahead of us because the impact of sheltering in place, reduced services citywide, is definitely taking a toll on our properties. And then kind of to go along with that, I'd like to turn the microphone over to Dominica Henderson, our Director of Policy Implementation and Compliance, who wants to show you the newest, latest and greatest iteration of our dashboards, which will become a part of the monthly report in September. Ms. Henderson?
Thank you, Patricia. I would like to just review the, hopefully everyone has in front of them, the COVID tracking dashboard. And if I can share, I cannot share my screen, so hopefully the hard copy will suffice for now. We'll make sure we have the electronic copy available next time. But we have worked quite a bit to refine the data and information that staff is providing to the board to inform you of the all of the COVID and CARES Act resources, how they've been expended, and how staff have distributed things like PPE, personal protective equipment, maybe as additionally, how staff has taken advantage of some of the additional federally protected leaves that are available to them under the CARES Act, as well as some other areas where we have distributed resources to residents and to program participants. And so I'll walk down the dashboard. And of course, this is data that has been compiled by the planning, implementation, and compliance team, but this data is produced by the department staff in each of these different visualizations. So as you'll see, we had significant amount of spending towards the end of the fiscal year, right before July, and that was primarily closing out existing invoices and making sure that all of the CARES Act purchases were purchased by the end of the fiscal year and were received by the end of the fiscal year. I would like to point out that that recent HUD guidance extended the deadline for expenditure of the CARES Act funds. So initially it was the end of December 2020, and now that's been extended to June 30th, 2021, which is great for us so that we have a little bit more time to provide additional assistance and make sure that we get all of our expenditures properly coded. But also, I think what's important about that is that now staff has the ability to go out and procure and get the best price without feeling rushed to have to buy, you know, certain items in order to make a artificially early deadline. So we do have an additional 6 months, and so you will see some additional costs come in that you may not have anticipated because before the deadline was December 31st. But again, we have the COVID expenditures. We also have an expenditure chart by department. Going down the dashboard, we show the expenditures for the Public Housing Operating Fund. So the above expenditures are the admin fee that the Housing Authority received from the CARES Act. Below is the Public Housing Operating Fund, which is exclusively used for public housing sites, both third party as well as OHA managed sites. And then if we scroll down to the bottom of that first page of the dashboard, you'll see we had a number of staff, an average of about 40 staff use the FFCRA protected leave that's provided by the federal government during the period. And we also had an average of about 50 employees in the work from home status on any given day. Finally, you'll see that we did have sort of a slight decrease in our number of work order calls that we received, which I think is surprising given that so many people are sheltered in place and relying on the systems much more than probably before. So we did have a little bit of an increase, but then now we've significantly dropped in terms of the number of work order calls, as well as we've had, you know, a significant drop of about a week in the amount of time it takes to close out work orders and get to job completion. And then finally, on the second page of the dashboard, you'll see where we track the use of various COVID waivers that are allowed by HUD. So we show the number of individuals that are served or assisted by FCP and provided information and referrals by FCP staff. We then detail out a number of the data points that show how various households are served, as well as landlords who have received the $250 retention bonus, the recruitment bonus of $500. We'll have that information updated for you as we just received some really good information about making sure that we're able to recruit landlords even through this difficult time, as well as then the resources that have been distributed regarding health and wellness and accessing the relief closet or the COVID resources closet at 935 Union. So this dashboard is the first iteration of what we hope to provide over the next year to demonstrate how staff has efficiently and effectively used the resources to meet the needs of the program participants, as well as the needs of employees and staff of the agency. And so if there are additional items that the commission would like to hear about, and have on this dashboard, we can provide those. We can do our best to track and provide those. We also can provide a more real-time look once we are satisfied, or once you are really satisfied with what we've provided here, then we can provide a more daily or regular real-time look at any of the data points that's provided on this dashboard. And I'm available
for questions
if you have any. Thank you.
Thank you, Dominica. Are there any questions from the commission? And Chair, that concludes the executive director's report.
Yes, well, actually, I do have a question. I have two. My first question is, I'm seeing the COVID-related expenditures here, but did we receive money from CARES or other acts for COVID that would offset some of these expenditures here? I'm just curious.
The expenditures that you see here were paid for by the CARES Act fund. So we have basically used the CARES Act funds that were provided to the authority. And you saw the CARES Act budget a couple of months ago. I think a month
ago. Okay. Okay.
And so we've used the CARES Act funds first for COVID-related costs. And yes, we hope to expend fully the CARES Act funds.
Okay.
Use
okay. So then, what we're looking at here for COVID expenditures is essentially deployment of CARES Act funds.
Yes.
So it is not exposure in any way to our budget.
That's right. And the numbers may change slightly.
Yeah.
To massage it and get through our expenditures a little bit better. But these are not expenditures of our traditional admin fee or HAP. This is exclusively CARES Act. The intent behind these dashboards is to provide you information exclusively about CARES Act expenditures.
Okay.
But you know what, Chair and Dominica, what I'm hearing, Dominica, is one of the enhancements we can put on here is the expenditure totals. So of yes, the CARES Act money issued to the Housing Authority by category, our level of expenditures. And this is helpful, Commissioners, because right now, nationally, Housing Authorities are really working diligently to spend the dollars, as Dominica said. The tight timeline made it somewhat difficult, and now I think we'll see that this money will be put to use for everyone's community, and we can definitely track the amounts. Chair, you said you had another question, sir, for us?
Yeah. So just to recap that one, so we have in total then spent under $1 million in aggregate on addressing COVID, right, of the CARES Act money.
So far, yes.
Yeah, okay. And then the other question I had is I noticed that the number of work order calls went down during shelter in place. And I thought that was interesting because people would be home more, which might have the opposite effect. And I was also curious that the average days to complete a job literally dropped by over 50%. And I just wondered if you had any idea what was behind both of those changes.
Well, if
sure. One of the things that we've seen again locally and nationally is everyone's sensitivity to be in someone else's space. And so people being at home, especially with distance learning, the desire necessarily to have one of our team members in the unit is impacting, we believe, we haven't done a survey yet, but it actually wouldn't be a bad idea, is impacting the request for occupied unit work orders. But Dominica, it sounded like you were also going to add something with your work with the staff team.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think that it probably is related to people being less comfortable with staff being in the units. And I think that there also has been a significant increase in the reliance on virtual sort of inspections and things like that. So there may be some virtual troubleshooting that's happening at the Yeah, and we might be able to provide some report or update on that as well. If you notice, the shelter in place, around the shelter in place, which shows like a straight line, there was a slight uptick in the number of calls that we normally had, but then now it's
right.
And right. The same with the number of days to complete the jobs, I think that that is also, we're just able to turn them around because the number of calls is so much, has diminished so much significantly since before COVID.
Yeah, because those are both significantly positive trends, you know, and obviously I just find myself wondering if somehow some of that could extend into the future.
I'd like to see if Andres Manriquez, Andres, do you have anything that you would want to add on the trends that are noticed in the report? Mr. Manriquez? No.
Oh,
so
okay.
I
keep on getting muted. Sorry about that. So one of the things that Patricia mentioned was the sensitivity of us being in the units. So as we went into shelter into place, one of the things that happened is that we limited the amount of work orders that we actually were being able to do inside the units, and most of them were health and safety related. So our presence inside the units is less now. The residents are more in their units. It doesn't mean that there's more health and safety. So that's really where our focus is at. So that's why you see that trend that slightly went up and then it's just going down. And then also the fact that we have in other words, we're also doing less work orders after the shelter in place, because we're not doing a lot of the regular routine work out there. So that decreases amount of time significantly of completion for the work orders.
Thank you. That's actually a very helpful answer.
Yeah. Thank you. And Chair, I'd just like to point out to you, the commissioners and our attendees, that Dominica is sharing the dashboard that she just described on screen.
Oh, yeah.
And so we'll add the addition of the monetary amount and spending achievements and milestones on the report, which will be added as your standard monthly report in the September packet.
No, wait, I'm not sure I understand what you're adding.
Oh, the amount we've been allocated by HUD.
I see. Okay. Okay, mm-hmm. Good. Okay, thank you.
So again, if there are no further questions, that concludes my executive director report. Thank you, Ms. Henderson and Mr. Manriquez.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. That was I found it at least very helpful. So now we can move on to reports of commission committees. And I believe we had a committee that met.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chair. We actually did. It was the special needs committee that met last week. And in closed session, we will hear more about some opportunities that we want to present to you. Home key was on one of the agenda items. We also reviewed updates on our programs that are under special needs. Very good news from our youth program. They are moving forward to fill in some of the units that we have open, even during COVID. It's been very difficult for them. So we're excited. More news coming, hopefully, next time we meet.
Well, thank you very much, Commissioner Castillo. That is a very encouraging summary. Let's see, did we have anything else? Yeah.
We do, Chair. I almost forgot to celebrate the hard work of our Housing Authority staff team. I said thank you and meant to say thank you with this in front of us. And this is just a screenshot of two awards that the Housing Authority received from, again, HAI, the Housing Authority Assurance Group, who we continued our partnership with them today for automobile. But the most improved claims history in 2019 was one of the awards, and we received two of them that were on hold because of COVID. And so I just thought that I would typically present these to the board with Artesia Dupree, our risk manager. And so today we're presenting it virtually. And again, congratulations to all of our staff, because all of us lend a part to having improved and reduced claims for staff and residents, but also to Ms. Dupree for facilitating the Housing Authority Insurance Group partnership. So thank you to all.
Well, very nice news. So now, do we have any announcements by commissioners? If not, I believe we now adjourn to closed session.
Thank you. And commissioners, you received the Zoom invite, and so I look forward to speaking to you in a few moments. We'll start immediately after the conclusion of this part of the open session.
Okay. Here we go. Let's go then.